This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Wednesday. We have all kinds of stuff this hour. We're going to talk about how did we get here? Meaning divided, our elites all mixed up, leading the people in the wrong direction. We'll discuss that. CCP's using Harvard as a human capital recruiting ground. All that, emails, so much more coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, I want to begin here because we discussed, I know it was heavy at the end of last hour, how divided we are. It's just crazy to me that the states are standing against deportation and just as divided as we are. And did you see what Chrissy Walton did? Chrissy Walton, I know you don't know who that is. She's an heiress to the Walmart fortune. Walmart, that the Walton family, they have so many billionaires. I forget what the number is, but they're all billionaires. There's just legions of them. They're printing money, the whole family. Billions and billions and billions. And here you have this woman, filthy rich. She took out a full-page ad in the New York Times calling for people to rise up against Trump. I forget the exact language. Essentially calling for more demonstrations, protests, riots. How did we get here as a country? Well, it can be very tempting to turn on the news, to turn on social media, and to blame the animals you see on TV, throwing Molotov cocktails and all things like that. And they are most definitely to blame somewhat. I'm not telling you they're innocent by any stretch. But leadership matters. And I think we should discuss exactly how and why we lost our, I'm going to call them elites. I hate using that, so no better than you or me. But how did we lose that? How did that happen? Well, there's a long explanation for it. Let's go with, first of all, the basics. Communist leaders, historically, did you know they're almost all rich kids? Almost without exception, the communist leaders were rich kids, children of wealthy parents. Now, that's not widely known because all your teachers in school were communist, and so they do the best they can to cover up all the evils of communism and all the lies communists tell. But you know Che, that stupid t-shirt you wore when you were in college? He was a rich kid. You know Lenin? Rich kid. Mao, even. Oh, the Chinese peasant, the farmer. Nope, rich kid. Dad was a wealthy farmer. Employees and everything. Wealthy. Pol Pot. The guy who executed and starved to death 25% of his country. He killed a quarter of his own country. Pol Pot. Rich kid. So rich, his family was in good with the king. They had a king at the time. So rich, you want to hear what rich is? This was only the rich kids who ever got to do this when I was a kid. He studied abroad. He went to Paris to learn about communism. You didn't think Pol Pot learned about communism in Cambodia, did you? He went to Paris and learned about communism, brought it back to his country, and killed 25% of his own country. Rich kids. Why does that happen? How does that happen? Now, let's be clear. It's not bad to be a rich kid. If your folks are wealthy, you're no better or worse than anyone else. It's a lot part of life. You don't have to feel bad about it. You shouldn't feel prideful about it. It's just how you were born. It's life. Why does it happen to some rich kids? What happens there? Well, all of us, we are all born and we all want a mission. And we all, people don't realize this, we all want a challenge, need a challenge. It's human nature. If I could give you everything you wanted, if you gave me a list of everything you ever wanted, whether it be money and houses and boats, or maybe it's personal, maybe you want a husband or a wife or kids or with whatever you wanted, if I had the power to give it to you and I could hand it all to you right now, it wouldn't be long until you were stressed about something, striving for something, wanting something, because that's how human beings are built. You have to have it. If you're a rich kid, oftentimes, it depends on how you were raised and depends on you. Again, I'm not indicting you if you're a wealthy child. That's fine. You haven't done anything wrong. But you don't always have the challenges that other kids do. And if you're uber, uber wealthy, if you're a Walton, you're part of the Walmart fortune. Picture this. Flying your entire life and you've never been to a commercial airport. You've never been on a commercial plane. Imagine flying around the world. You're in your 60s and you've never been on Southwest, Delta, Spirit, United, American Airlines. Never one time. You don't even know what a commercial airliner smells like. That's how some people live their lives. It's maids and servants and private jets. And when you wake up one day and you have when it's your graduation party, you ever have a graduation party? We had a graduation party. It was in my backyard. There were 15 people there. Imagine your graduation party in Paris. That's where people like that have their graduation party. We're going to rent an island in Italy and have it on a yacht. And we're bringing in the Red Hot Chili Peppers to play for the. That's how these people live. It sounds like heaven, right? Sounds perfect. Wow. They want for nothing, but they need a challenge. You need something. I need something. I need. So you're looking around at the poor, maybe, whoever they may be. And you think to yourself, well, I'm an elite. I even feel a touch of guilt for that. I should go be their leader. I'm made to be their leader. So you dirty up your clothes like Che did. You learn how to speak the language of the poor. And you go murder a whole bunch of people. That's what communist leaders have always done. So there's always that inclination. And then there's your institutions that train your leaders. Our institutions, our main one that trains our leaders, is our elite university system. Our rich kids, smart kids, our future CEOs and senators, all these people, they don't go to Pima Community College. I know, Chris, it's hard to believe, even though it was fully accredited. They don't go to Pima Community College like I did. They go to Harvard. Headline, CCP uses Harvard as fertile human capital recruiting ground to further military goals, report says. That's a report from Free Beacon. You see, our university system, it wasn't just foreign. Domestic communists, too. They captured the elite university systems where our future leaders filter through. And after they captured these systems, after they captured these institutions, they began to churn out commie reporters, commie CEOs, commie senators. Now these people are leading the communist revolution from positions of power in this country. Our communist leaders are United States senators. They are CEOs. They are mayors. They are governors. And they are not out there dissuading the revolutionaries in the streets. They'll kind of halfway do the, hey, don't be violent, but you have every right to protest Trump's tyranny. They'll do a whole lot of that stuff. They are cheering for it. I want you to listen to this. This is Abel Maldonado. He's the former lieutenant governor of California.
In California, we had a situation where stores were being looted by people. There was no ramifications. The people of California put Proposition 36 on the ballot that, in essence, made it stiffer penalties and stopped people from stealing. Gavin Newsom opposed it. This is just a couple of months ago. Gavin Newsom opposed it, and the people of California voted almost 70%. So those are important facts.
The people wanted the looting to stop. They wanted everything to stop. Their governor, their leader said no, opposed it. This is what has happened. We think it's a street animal problem, and yes, they are part of the problem. Again, I want to acknowledge that. It's not as much of a street problem as it is an elite problem. From the top down, the Democrat Party wants this happening in the country. That's why they're all on television. We got to take it to the streets, scumbags. Anyway, you know what I did this morning? I made like 8 pieces of bacon for the boys and myself. I made the mistake of setting the plate of bacon on the counter, turned around, did a couple things, turned back around. There was 1 piece left, and I had to race my oldest across the kitchen to get it, and I got it first. And then I sat down with my 1 piece of bacon and had a male vitality stack from Chalk, baby. Testosterone. Did you know that Chalk is doing something special for the summer? Maybe you've heard me talk about Chalk's male vitality stack before. And maybe you've been curious. I wonder, does it actually work? So if I may, you don't have to guess whether or not it works. I don't want you to take my word for it. You'll know after 2 or 3 months. They say 90 days, but I knew after a month, you can feel it. It's just your energy is so much better. Why don't you try it during the summer savings discount? No better time than now. Text, here's the number, 50CHALK3000. 50CHALK3000. Just tell them Jesse sent you. You can call that number if you want. Just tell them Jesse sent you. Try it. You'll feel like $1 million. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Chris, I can't believe we never played that song when we were talking about Kamala Harris. That would have been hilarious. What? What, Chris? Anyway, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Let's do some of those emails. Jesse, I listen every day. FYI, she said the subject of this one's Operation Paperclip. At the end of World War II, our corrupt government brought over 1,600 German scientists and engineers on the pretense of getting us to the moon. These Germans were communists who infiltrated our education system, our government, our military. There's no depth, our government, so on and so forth. All right. First, let's discuss briefly Operation Paperclip, and let's talk about Nazis versus communists versus all this other stuff, because here in America, everything gets dumbed down for a variety of reasons. Some of it's because people are dumb. Most of it's because your teacher was a communist who only is interested in propaganda. Remember these people? We've been talking about all the lies they've been telling all week long.
4 or 5 blocks, that's it. And Caddy K, the tale of two cities is being told by the media. It's amazing. We know this. We're in this business. But the impact of pictures that people see on their TV tell a story that's not really accurate.
How they've been telling you that there isn't that many fires, just the brazen lies. Think about the brazen lies you've heard about the riots the past few days. Now think about the lies your history teacher taught you. We dumb down history because communists believe in lying about everything. They do this with Nazis and communists all the time. Because America's communists have spent years trying to frame Republicans as Nazis, they want you to believe that the communists and the Nazis back in the day were completely separate entities. They were not. Communists and the Nazi Party, they were fighting for control of Germany. This is post-World War I. They were fighting hard. They were physically fighting in the streets. But they aligned on an unbelievable number of things. When the Nazis finally won that little internal squabble, do you know what most of the communists did? Most of the communists didn't die under Hitler's hand, although some did. They just switched and became Nazis. There were so many of them. If you read the Anti-Communist Manifesto, available at jessekellybook.com, if you read the Anti-Communist Manifesto, you would have already known this. There were so many of Germany's communists who became Nazis, they actually had a term for them. They called them beefsteak Nazis. Brown on the outside, red on the inside. That's a fact. Nazism and communism, they're virtually identical. Where the Nazis really differed from that, it wasn't necessarily ideological. It was more racial. It was really purely a hatred of the Jews type thing. It was essentially, if I'm a Nazi and you're a communist, we'll get along just fine. Unless your name's Steinberg. That's really where the diversion was. They're the same people. Okay, so let's fast forward past that. Operation Paperclip. Operation Paperclip is one of those things that is widely discussed and people love to argue about it and talk about what was and what wasn't. If I can defend our government on this, allow me to. The Germans in general, are good engineers. What is that car? Is it Audi, Mercedes? What are those German cars? German engineering. They're always talking about German engineering. German engineering is famous for a reason. Those daggone Germans are good at it, all right? Germans are good at it. So that's one. They were good. They had excellent scientists. The Nazi war machine was extremely impressive. And whew, the things they would have done had they not purged all the Jews. Again, it was kind of the racial stuff that really screwed them. They had even more capable people, but they wouldn't let them do anything because they were Jewish. But even still, they were really accomplishing some amazing things. Now, we're coming to the end of World War II. America, we may have fought alongside the Soviet Union, but we were not under the impression the Soviet Union was friendly. And we weren't under the impression that we were going to be friends. It didn't take a genius to figure out we're going to compete with these people economically, militarily. They're going to be our enemy for quite some time. And you know what Stalin was doing? Stalin was grabbing every smart Nazi he could find, and he was bringing them into the fold. When Germany was getting piecemealed after the war, America was looking at what Stalin was doing and was saying, well, we can't let all the Nazi intelligence go over to Stalin. These are the people who were landing rockets in London from Germany. That was a big deal. The V2 rocket and all that, that was a big deal. We wanted some of that knowledge. And so we lied. We made up a bunch of stuff, names, things like that, and we grabbed those Nazi doctors, Nazi scientists, and we brought them over to the United States of America. There were some name changes and things like that, but hey, I heard NASA's hiring, and that's kind of how the cookie crumbles. Did we pay a price for that? Of course we did. No question. Was it worth it in the end? Well, we can debate that all day long, but that's what actually happened. Let's tell you something that is worth it is relief factor. What, Chris? For the pain relief. Pain sucks. It just drains your life away, doesn't it? When you have something that hurts, do I sound familiar with it? Because I have been familiar with it many times in my life. When I was young, I grew way too fast and my back was all screwed up. Every day it sucked. Basketball practice sucked. Going to school sucked. I used to have to ride my bike to school. It sucked. Everything sucked. Daily pain sucks. But you can ignore it. Then your life is not as much fun. You can take things to mask it. Then you're trashing your body. Or you can try something that's drug-free. A supplement called Relief Factor. Did you know people call Relief Factor and they order 3 weeks of it? That's what they sell, a 3-week quick start. Just see if it works for you. That's all. Did you know something like 70% of the people call and order more? Why do you think that is? We're talking about taking your pain away. Away. Disappearing it. 1-800-4-RELIEF. or go to relieffactor.com. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, fantastic Wednesday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes, Soros-funded group that helps unemployed adults obtain food stamps, leads the charge against work requirements in Trump's big, beautiful bill. I just want to once again say something that I have backed up time and time again on this show. How is it that the wealthiest, most powerful country in the history of the world has allowed a foreign-born rich guy to invest in the destruction of its streets and its country for decades? Decades. It blows me away that this has been allowed to go on for decades. I can't believe it's a thing that exists here. Think about any other country in the history of the world at any point in time. If they found out some neighboring country had a rich guy in it who was unloading millions of dollars to cause civil unrest in its streets, how would they respond to that? What, Chris? What? Chris said, isn't that espionage of any? Yes. Yes. And it would be, it's an act of war, to be honest with you. It is an act of war. If we, the United States of America, not that we would ever do such a thing, used our intelligence service to unload millions of dollars in the country of Chad, and that millions of dollars goes to street groups who will cause a rebellion in Chad, that's an act of war by America. Of course it is, and would be treated as an act of war. Here in the United States of America, everyone even knows his name. They do it openly. He brags about it. And it's just allowed. I just can't even believe it. Howdy, J-Train. A lot of guys love World War II, Roman Empire guns, Crusaders. I often dwell on a different aspect, though. Sometimes I wonder how many wars I could have won if I could go back to Rome, Sparta, North Africa, or anywhere else major wars were fought with a 240 and an M16. Am I the only one who thinks about that kind of thing? It says his name is Rob. No, I think about that stuff all the time. You think about that stuff all the time. And military technology. Trump signed, speaking of news from today, Trump signed an executive order about domestic drone production and drones and things like that. And I'm sure you've heard BK and I discuss drones here on the air. We've discussed it when it comes to Russia-Ukraine. Russia-Ukraine has been a big drone war. And these drones possibly have really phased out armor. When I say armor, just think tanks, but it's more than tanks. But they may have phased out armor. How much money are you going to sink into armor when I can fly an itty-bitty drone underneath it or on top of it and blow it up and everyone in it? It becomes not worth it. If it's easy to take out and take out cheaply, it becomes not worth it. The game of warfare is always a technological game. And it's a game that countries don't want to invest in peacetime because there's no sense of urgency. And then when a war breaks out, if you're the one that's behind, it's catastrophic. World War I's a great example of this. World War I, we're not going to do a big World War I thing, but World War I, Germany, they invade Belgium. They're just passing through, but that's a long story. But they invade Belgium. Belgium has forts, not the kind of forts you're picturing. When I picture a fort, I picture the exact same thing you're picturing. Maybe a bunch of wood or stones stacked up, these walls that go above the ground, and it's a fort, right? It's a fort. That's what I picture. It's a fort. We get it. It's a fort. Not these. These were underground, mostly. Underground. There were parts of the fort that were on top of the ground, where it would be a gun turret that would sit that was up, but most of the fort was under the ground, encased in concrete and rebar and stuff like that. So it's not like the Belgians were idiots. They understood that technology had advanced to the point your fort really couldn't be above ground. It would just get massacred if it was, even if it was stone, it wouldn't matter. It would just go down. Okay, we got to put it under the ground. So Germany starts to sweep through Belgium. They start running into these forts. And at first, they do actually run into a little bit of a problem. Oh, man, we're sending our troops after the fort. We can't seem to hurt the fort. Our guys are getting mowed down. But Germany had been investing in weapons, bigger, badder artillery pieces. Eventually, Germany simply brought up their bigger, badder artillery pieces, and they just destroyed the forts like they were nothing. Like they were nothing. Just boom, 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 gone. Fort gone. All that money, all that time, all those men destroyed just like that because you were behind technologically. Alexander the Great, which we're going to do soon. I almost did it tonight. I might even do it tomorrow night. But Alexander the Great, which we're going to do soon. We've had this discussion before about their military technology. How did they conquer all of Greece? How'd they bring all of Greece together? Before they went and got Persia, they conquered all the Greeks. One of the main ways? A longer spear. Isn't that the most simple thing in the world? A longer spear. It was a spear that was roughly twice as long as the other spears the Greeks were using. So the Macedonians would show up and they're stabbing you before you can stab them, and they win, you lose. Technology. Trump signed this drone thing today. Drone warfare, because I'm not in Ukraine and you're not in Ukraine. Drone warfare can be hard to even imagine. What does it even look like? We've seen videos of drones flying out of the beds of semi-trucks. It's not hard to imagine a big Chinese ship, God forbid, showing up with 10,000 drones in the port of Houston, flying them all over the place, causing who knows how much destruction. But this is the kind of thing, the kind of future thing we're talking about. But here I am talking to you about it. Let me ask you, how much money are you interested in investing in stopping that? Even if I could get you afraid, how much money is it? Well, they're not here now. We're not even at war with China. I don't know. What's the big deal? And I'm with you. I'm right there with you. How much money do you invest in that stuff? You don't invest what you should. And then when war finally does come, and it always comes, the one with the technological advantage wins. You want to know what a variety of things did, but you want to know what really, really, really hurt the Japanese in our war against them in the Pacific War? It wasn't just the size of our Navy and all that. Radar. Radar. We had it. They didn't. And it doesn't sound like the end of the world. Radar? Okay, I know you can see how it'd be an advantage, and I can see how it would be an advantage. But when you are having an aircraft carrier fight, and I'm going to launch my ships from my carrier, and you don't know it, and you're going to launch your ships from your carrier, and I don't know it. If I have something that tells me your planes are coming, and I know where they're coming from, that's not a small thing. That's the difference between four of your carriers going to the bottom and four of my carriers going to the bottom. Technological advances. Speaking of Russia, Ukraine, Mitch McConnell, our favorite senator, Mitch McConnell, got a chance to interrogate Pete Hegseth. Had some interesting things to say. We'll talk to him. Well, we're not going to talk to him. I have no desire to do that. We'll talk about him and play his comments in a moment. Before we do that, let's save a baby's life for $28. You ever save someone's life? Most people don't. Very understandable. $28 you can. What's that $28 to preborn do? Well, preborn, they go into the highest abortion areas of the country. And they set up clinics, pro-life clinics, where scared young women who are about to abort their babies, they will come into the clinic for a free ultrasound. That's the ultimate tool in the fight for life. If you can get a young woman to sit down for a free ultrasound, she will choose life almost every time. She has convinced herself. She's been convinced by the people around her. It's a burden. It's a clump of cells. Once it's an ultrasound, it's a heartbeat. And once mom hears that little baby's heart beating, then she's a mom. And you can't kill it, can you? Preborn will care for these women. And that's what you do when you support them. I want to stress, this is tax deductible. I know it's not tax season, but you give them whatever you want. $28 though, buys that ultrasound. Preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Don't worry, we still have more than an hour left of the Jesse Kelly Show. So let's discuss Mitch McConnell for a moment, shall we? And really, it saddens me. It saddens me because we've been talking about the country and the state of the country a lot tonight on the show. It saddens me the state of our leaders and the level of disloyalty or just the general lack of love of country. Someone had emailed something in the other day, and it was funny that they emailed in about Teddy Roosevelt Jr. Yes, President Roosevelt's son, Teddy Roosevelt Jr., a general, brigadier general, I believe at the time, landing on the beaches of Normandy, D-Day. It's funny they emailed that in because I didn't inform everybody, but I went to the World War II Museum in New Orleans last week, and I read about Teddy Roosevelt Jr. landing on the beaches of Normandy. And if you go look at all of America's history, from the Revolutionary War to the Civil War to just all the way through it, senators, their sons, and themselves fought for this country. While they were in office, senators fighting for the country. Presidents fighting for the country. Their sons, family members. I'm going to forget the name. I'm going to screw up the name. So forgive me for that. And I'm going to screw up the location. I believe it was Okinawa, but it was one of the Pacific Islands. I was watching a documentary a few weeks ago. That's why I'm fuzzy on the details. But a young man died in combat. And his father, I believe he was a general on the island, went over to visit his son and pay respects over his son's grave. Now, I don't celebrate a lot when it comes to the horrible things about war, because war is a terrible thing, but what love of country? That's love of country. To rise to an incredibly high station in the country and yet still put yourself at risk of dying for it and put your children at risk of dying for it. But these politicians today, so many of them, not all of them, but so many of them, they talk about other countries that way. They never talk about ours that way. Listen to Mitch McConnell. Listen to this man.
Mr. Secretary, probably won't surprise you.
He's interrogating Pete Hegseth.
Not only did we get a decline.
Wrong one. Interrogating Pete Hegseth.
Mr. Secretary, probably won't surprise you, but I'm going to start with Ukraine. Number one, who's the aggressor and who's the victim in the conflict?
Russia's the aggressor.
Which side do you want to win?
As we've said time and time again.
Keep in mind, you have a limited amount of time to interrogate people when you are a senator or member of the House, a very limited amount of time. Even Mitch McConnell's time is limited. It's not open-ended. Could have asked the Secretary of Defense about anything. This is how we use this time.
This president is committed to peace in that conflict. Ultimately, peace serves our national interests, and we think the interest of both parties, even if that outcome will not be preferable to many in this room and many in our country.
Which side is President Xi pulling for?
Well, as was stated by both of you, we obviously understand, unfortunately, under this administration and the policy, under the previous administration and the policies they pursued, it has driven Russia and China closer together. So there's no doubt that China would prefer that Vladimir Putin have a good outcome. But it would also prefer a prolonged conflict that would keep us and other countries tied down and incapable of paying attention to the malign influence of China elsewhere.
One thing I'm sure we agree on is we don't want a headline at the end of this conflict that says Russia wins and America loses.
That's how the United States Senator from Kentucky used his time to interrogate the Secretary of Defense. Not about China, not about the VA and the horrible conditions at the VA, not about the rotted state of base housing, not talked about near enough in this country, the rotted state of barracks and base housing and bases across the country, not talking about our drone capabilities, none of those things. The United States Senator from the state of Kentucky used his time with the Secretary of Defense to make political points about Russia, Ukraine. Man, that's where we are. Now, before we get to this China deal that Trump announced today, it would be a very good idea to get some gold in your hands. It doesn't have to be physically in your hands. I want to be clear about that. Now, I believe in that, and Goldco will do that for you. I believe in having some sort of physical precious metals somewhere where you can access it because, let's be honest, things really go bad. You'll need that. I'm more talking about your retirement account. Do you have precious metals as part of it? Not all of it. That's crazy. I'm not saying that. Are precious metals part of your retirement? When you put precious metals in your retirement, you can consider it like a protection for your retirement. It raises the floor because you can only fall so far if it's precious metals. Everything else comes and goes. Precious metals have stood the test of time. Always have and always will. They'll be around a long time after you and I are both gone. You want to find out about it? Goldco will send you a free kit. You know that? A free copy of their 2025 gold and silver kit. 855-817-GOLD or visit jessielikesgold.com. All right. Now, Trump, he's been talking to China. They were over there in London talking to China. Specifically, it was Howard Lutnick and one of the Chinese vice commerce ministers. There's always ministers over there, minister for this and minister for that. It's very weird, but sounds like they came to an agreement. Trump announced publicly they came to an agreement. Part of that agreement is Trump is dropping the plans to revoke Chinese student visas. Now, I'm not going to go into a bunch of this. I don't have a ton of stuff to say about it, except we don't know the details yet. That's one. And two, the real question is going to be with this deal. And I'm sure Trump got us a good deal. He usually does. Does this deal, does it ease economic pain now? Or does it actually bring reshore manufacturing back here? Because that's what we were always told is the goal. Is that going to happen? I don't know. And as we've discussed before, I don't know if it can happen. Fingers crossed. They say there's a deal. I guess we'll figure out how it turns out. All right. Scott Bessent, he was getting interrogated by one of these idiot congressmen today. The way the congressman responded was pretty revealing. We'll talk about that next.